This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Den, what do you got?
All right, let's start locally. We talked about the Caps earlier. They beat the Bruins 4-3. Alex Ovechkin scores .891. He is 3 away from tying Wayne Gretzky. He is 4 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record, and they are in action tonight on the road against Carolina.
Yeah, and this is now true, you know, watch every moment because he could get on a heater one night and we're like tonight and he is, you know, within one of tying Gretzky. I mean, what if he gets a goal in the first period and a goal in the second period? Now you're really, you know, you're really paying attention. And the guy's been on an absolute, as you said, heater, 5 goals in his last 8 games. He's tied for 4th. In goals this year, even though he's played 10 less games from, you know, one of the players in front of him and 15 less games than a few of the players in front of him. He's having an insane season. And, you know, with 8 games left, it seems now, based on the scoring rate, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen here before the end of the regular season. Certainly, you could go into a goal-scoring drought right now before the playoffs begin. You know what's interesting is that I was thinking about this, and I'm sure people who are really following this closely have thought about this, but the Caps right now pretty much have locked up the number one seed overall in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Would they consider down the stretch in their last game or two, let's just say, giving, you know, their starters some rest before the postseason begins, including their oldest starter, Alex Ovechkin? Now, it's possible that before we get to that, you know, those last few games, he's already broken the record. But, you know, if you get to, you know, Tuesday, April 15th and Thursday, April 17th, and he's one short of breaking the record, and you're at the Islanders and at Pittsburgh before the playoffs begin on Saturday or Sunday for you in a game one, on April 19th or April 20th, in most cases, you know, thinking about what's best for the team, you'd probably be resting him when those games mean nothing with respect to the standings. I don't think you'll see that with him, though, if he hasn't broken the record. But 8 games left, and let's face it, with 105 points, and the next best record is 94 points, Carolina in their own division, Toronto in the Atlantic division, You're not losing the one seed here down the stretch, more likely than not. So you would probably look to rest some of your starters in those final few games. But no, the spotlight will be on Alex Ovechkin the rest of the way until he breaks the record. And if he doesn't break the record, I guarantee you there are some salespeople with Monumental that probably won't be totally distraught. Because they would have an entire off season from, you know, April and May through next October to sell the Ovechkin you know, Gretzky record-breaking game for next year. But I think we're going to see it this year. All right, what else?
I do wonder. I don't know that hockey players take rest the way that most other guys do leading up to the postseason. So I think you might see a lot of the starters keep going. It's something about the mentality.
Is that true? I don't know.
It's something about the mentality of being a hockey player where I don't know that they rest as frequently as other sports do. Even if they have stuff locked up, especially because you want to stay in some sort of rhythm, you know, particularly in the NHL postseason. By the way, the Dallas Stars are creeping up on the West in terms of points. They're at 102, only four behind Winnipeg.
Look at you. Going through the standings. Yeah, they've won six in a row. They're 102 points. Winnipeg's at 106, and the Caps are at 105. Yes.
You got the St. Louis Blues who've won 10 in a row. All right, I'm done looking at the standings here. How about the Nationals? They fell to the Blue Jays 5-3 yesterday. Yep. A rough outing for Trevor Williams. He allowed 10 hits in five innings, striking out just three and allowing three runs. There was no Dylan Cruz in this one. Dylan Cruz did not start.
I did notice that.
He'd been hitless, so maybe this will just have him simmer down a little bit, get back out there today, get after it, and hopefully get his first hit.
Well, James Wood struck out three times in the game as well. Now, he has, I think now, three strikeout games. Is that true? I think before last night's game, I think he had two other games in which he struck out three times. Yeah. He struck out three times against the Phillies in their second game and the third game against the Phillies, and then struck out three times last night. He has just four hits and 19 at bats. He's hitting .211 here early in the season. So two of the, you know, big watches are off to very slow starts. It's early, though. You know, they played five games. They've got another 157 left. Long season. C.J. Abrams, though, big night for him. 3-for-4 with an RBI. But the Nats are off to a 1-4 start. And look, the Dodgers right now are 7-0 with the Padres at 6-0 in that National League West, and the Dodgers are heading towards some personal team best records, I think.
And the Dodgers will be here next week. They're here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Nats Park. So the Nats finish their season or their series with Toronto today, and then they get a big home stretch with three games with Arizona this weekend, and then you get three games to start next week with the Dodgers. So you get to see potentially Shohei Ohtani in action.
Yeah. I mean, in some capacity. The Dodgers coming into town, it's always been a big deal since baseball came back, but with Ohtani, it's a massive deal.
By the way, that Tuesday game is Mackenzie Gore and Blake Snell, so that'll be a fun one on the mound. You get the Wizards in action tonight against the Sacramento Kings. This is the first of a back-to-back. They're in action tomorrow as well at home. That one you can hear right here on Team 980.
Yeah, I talked about this in the open. Last night was an all-time night for the NBA in a regular season night. The Bucks had the highest field goal percentage this century. Steph went for 52 at 37 years old in a win at Memphis. And Nikola Jokic had one of the greatest individual performances in NBA history. If you missed it, 61-10-10 in a double overtime loss to Minnesota. That was really a crushing loss. Russell Westbrook single-handedly lost the game for Denver in the second overtime by, first of all, with about 11 seconds to go, shooting a breakaway layup when he probably should have dribbled the ball out, burnt another 3 or 4 seconds, and taken the foul. But he missed the layup and then ended up fouling the shooter with 0.1 seconds left on the other end, and they lost on free throws in two overtimes. But, man, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, is just... I think for me right now, Denton, and mark this one down because we should do this in the coming weeks when the Final Four is over, when, you know, we'll have a lot of draft talk, obviously. Maybe it's after the draft. But what is the best watch in sports right now? You know, it could be a team or it could be a player. The Joker's near the top of the list for me.
I mean,
he might
one
be
of the
top of the list
night.
For me.
It's either, it's either him or Steph right now. So it's one of the two guys from last night.
Yeah, I'm saying in all of sports, in terms of right now, in all of sports, you know, full calendar year, so we take football into consideration as well. What's the best watch? you can easily make the case that it's Jokic. He's just flat out right now at 30 years old in the conversation for the greatest big man of all time. And that sparks a whole other debate about Wilt and Russell and Kareem and Olajuwon and Shaq, etc. But in terms of his overall versatility as a player, which, by the way, is available to him in this day and age, it wasn't available to some of those other players. Big men were big men. We're watching, you know, a 6 foot 11, 7 foot, 290 pound point guard, small forward, big forward, and center. Whatever you need on whatever night you need, he can do it. He's averaging a triple-double. He's not going to win the MVP this year. The season he's having right now may be the best season of his career. It would be the first season averaging a triple-double for him in his career if it happens. Now, he's at 10.2 assists, so his assist total could potentially over the final, you know, 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it is at this point, could dip below 10. But SGA is going to win the MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at OKC, who, by the way, right now, they do look like the best team in the NBA. He's going to win his first MVP. I don't know how Jokic the first, he's won it twice already, and this is the best year of his career, and he's not going to win it. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson, multiple-time MVP, and then he has the best year of his career and he doesn't win it. It's the same thing with Jokic right now. Two-time MVP, and this year is the best year of his career. He's playing the best basketball of his career, and he's not going to win it.
Three-time MVP.
Three-time MVP.
Yeah, so this will be four.
Now, I think you could make a better case for SGA over Jokic than I think you could for Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. I thought Lamar Jackson deserved the MVP. I think that was a much closer call. But, yeah, I mean, the two parallel one another. Yeah, multi-time really MVPs do. Having the best years of their careers, and they don't win it in their best year of their career. All right, what else do you have?
All right, did you see this new study that was run? The Major League Baseball average salary has now topped $5 million for the first time. Thank you to guys like Juan Soto for that, because when you throw a $700 million contract in there, that is going to rise the average salary for everybody. But that's still great news for Major League Baseball.
By the way, how has his season started? Haven't followed it.
I know it started a little slow the first series, that there were some people that were upset. I think he struck out to lose a game early on, but he's hitting 250 to start. He has a homer, two RBI, an OPS of 955. So it's good, not great.
$5 million a year is the average salary. But is that's probably, what's the average salary of an NBA player? It's got to be
a
higher,
lot,
right?
A lot higher than that. Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know what the average NBA salary is, but there's also significantly more baseball players than
yeah,
NBA
of course.
Players.
Just like there's significantly more football players and even baseball players, but in the NFL obviously is different too in the salary structure. What is the
so the average annual salary in the NBA for the 2024-25 season is $11.9 million.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
The NFL average salary in 2024 was $3.2 million.
Yeah, I was going to say it's definitely a lot less than baseball. I would have thought it might even have been even less than that.
The NHL is $2.69 million, so the NHL is actually close to the NFL in average salary per year.
Again, fewer players, but more players than a basketball team. Basketball is $11.9 million. You said,
yeah.
That's the average salary. What's the minimum contract in the NBA? Is it over $1 million?
If you're talking veteran minimum, I think so. It looks like the veteran minimum, which is a minimum contract for a player with 3 or more years of experience, is around $2 million.
Wow.
If you have 10 plus years of experience, that then jumps to $3.3 million.
Do you, you know, same, you know, salary conversation, but different sport. Have you seen some of the stories out there about some of the salaries, NIL salaries for players here during this portal season? Did you see what Braden Smith might get from Kentucky?
I did see some of those numbers.
$4 million a year.
I tend to take those with massive grains of salt.
Okay. What if it's $3 million a year?
I mean, congratulations to him if that is true. That's a ton of money, though. I don't know how much I agree with.
In the conversation, which was what, a week ago with Kevin Willard on this show, he went into, you know, some of these guys now are getting $2 to $3 million and asking for that and getting it. I mean, I just read something, and again, you're probably right. It's probably on the high end. Braden Smith was the Big Ten Player of the Year, the 3-year starter at point guard for Purdue. It's weird. Purdue, you know, has essentially a program in which they just have their own players that they recruited. Like, there was this graphic put up during the tournament last week of the Sweet 16 teams and where the starting fives came from. And almost every team, you know, the players started somewhere else other than the school they were playing for currently. Purdue, all five starters. Purdue. They all went. It, you know, came in to Purdue, stayed at Purdue. Now, Braden Smith looks like he could leave for that kind of payday at Kentucky. He's a good player. He's a really good player. That's insane money for
that
a college
is,
player.
That is insane money. I'm looking at On Three's NIL valuation, which I take these a little bit more seriously, and the highest guy right now, as you can imagine, is Arch Manning at $6.5 million, but we've seen him in a ton of commercials, so that one does to me make sense. And then Cooper Flagg is second with $4.8 million. So I just find it a little confusing, and maybe not 100% that like Kentucky is going to offer a Braden Smith $4 million.
If On Three is it on3.com?
On3.com,
and they track
they
these
do NIL
things?
Valuations. Yeah, this would be On Three is a source that I trust. They do pretty good work. With some,
you know, a bunch of people tweeted me about we played that long 2.5 minute press conference, very emotional press conference from Haley Van Lith, mm-hmm. who was a, you know, 5-year college basketball player, and she played at TCU. They lost in the Elite Eight, and we played it. And I said, if you should really go watch it, and I got a bunch of tweets from people who's, you know, many of which said, hey, thanks for sending me to that. But then other people saying, you do realize how much money she's made in 5 years. Like, don't shed tears. Like, it's so ridiculous. She's had mental health problems. She threatened suicide. I mean, come on, people. Who cares about the money? But I guess somebody sent me something that she basically earned $7 million as a women's college basketball player over 5 years.
I think her valuation this year was around $1 million. So, that, I mean, that checks out.
Yeah. So, Arch Manning's getting what? At Texas?
His valuation right now is...
His valuation, but what's he getting paid?
Well, I have no idea. I'm not okay. Counting his books. But this is more than just like... sometimes you think, like you hear like the Braden Smith thing, for example, that Kentucky is going to pay him $4 million or whatever.
Right.
This is more in the lines with like he's getting money from Texas, but then he's also getting, you know, commercials for Red Bull. Commercials for Waymo's in Austin, and doing all the stuff he does on social media, being heavily involved with the video game. So all of those things take into consideration here.
Incredible. I mean, you know, it's great for the players. It's been incredible for the players. You know, these players that have been a part of these early years of getting paid, you know, you wonder whether or not it's almost like, you know, being involved in, you know, a multi-level marketing scam. Like, if you're in at the very beginning, all the money, but if you come in at the end, you get screwed. That's not true because of all the money that's available for college sports. And we're going to, you know, this month, more likely than not, you know, a salary cap structure. But NIL is separate from that. And it's incredible where college sports is today versus where it was just 4 or 5 years ago. Just amazing the amount of money that's been thrown at this. And I've told you before, going back, you know, a couple of years, that, you know, the rev share makes the most sense. I think players unionizing at this point probably makes the most sense for maybe all parties involved. But beyond that, and not getting into the details of that, you know, these schools that are coming up with all of this money through collectives or through true NIL, it's, which, you know, is more business funded for actual name, image, and likeness, which is kind of a joke because most of it's just been pay to play through the collectives. That at some point, you know, how do you keep going back to the same people when your hit rate is like an NFL draft hit rate, like best case 1 out of 3? Like, you asked me for $1 million for that player. He played 5 games, averaged 0.7 points, and then transferred, you know, and took more money for the next place. And that happens more times than not. But in certain places, it's a never-ending money pit. And, you know, turn your eyes towards the SEC for those places in particular. I am going through, you know, this site that you just sent me to, and Jacoby Gillespie comes in at 56, and his valuation is $1.5 million. Maryland, give him two. Tennessee is going to pay. I think he wants to go home. He's from Tennessee. I wonder what Rodney Rice is worth. Probably not much less than that. Probably right around the same amount. I don't see him on this list.
Yeah, I'm trying to find what else on this list. It's a lot more football players than basketball players, as you could imagine. End with this. Not good news, but it is unfortunately news. Val Kilmer passes at 65 years old.
Yeah, I mean, what an actor. He revealed that, you know, he was battling cancer, throat cancer, which, by the way, I think, ironically, it may have been a different type of cancer, but in Maverick, Top Gun, that's what he was dying from. So maybe that was obvious and I didn't know it until I saw that he passed away and read a little bit about it. But, I mean, kind of a legendary actor and such a very distinct actor in terms of face and voice over the years. Like, you knew the I mean, you know Val Kilmer's Batman. You know him from Top Gun fame. You know him from so many of the movies that he was in and great in. I 65. Wow. Way too young. Very sad. He was so good playing Jim Morrison in, you know, in the movie about the Doors, which was now, I don't know, that movie may have come out 25 years ago, something like that. Just incredible roles over the years. Great actor. I was reading something about him this morning that he went to high school with Kevin Spacey. And they were friends in high school. 65 years old. Terrible.
So it looks like the cause of death is pneumonia. So he beat cancer, sure. And then
but yeah, based, yeah, he had been battling cancer. Yep.
I think he only played Batman once, though, which is a shame. Because they went to Clooney, and the Clooney Batman was, it was whatever. They put nipples on the bat suit. It was a whole big thing. It's big in the Batman community. I'm sure you're aware.
I would say that, correct me if I'm wrong, but playing Iceman in the original Top Gun was his first big role. I mean, I would think that would be almost the beginning of his acting career, because that's 1985 or 1986.
Yes, and yeah, he did that before Batman. Yeah.
Yeah.
His Batman was the 90s.
When was the Jim Morrison role? Hold on, let me look this up. I'm going to say that that was mid-90s.
Yeah, I would imagine that was mid-90s.
1991.
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah. Wow, so his like second film was Top Gun. That's pretty impressive.
His second film?
Yeah, his second major film was Top Gun. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it says here is his third film, but yeah, that would have been his
third. Yeah, sorry, he did two prior. Yeah. Math is tough over here.
It's all right. Okay. Well, sad, but clearly not well in recent years. All right. Real quick,
just breaking news out of the NBA. The Wolves are agreeing to sell to Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez.
What's that sale price?
That just popped up. I don't know that I've seen a price for it yet.
It's not going to be $6 billion. It's not going to be the Celtics price. It's Minneapolis. I have no idea what the number is, but I would guess it's half of the cost of Celtics, if not. What is it? Do you know?
I'm looking up now. I don't even think it'll be the Suns 4. Whatever.
$1.5 billion price tag.
Eesh.
Glenn Taylor's agreed to sell to the Mark Lohr Alex Rodriguez Group, acquiring 100% ownership of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx at the same $1.5 billion price tag that the sides reached in 2021.
Okay. Damn, letting 4 years go by and not raising the price is crazy.
No, 2021. 4 years ago.
4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Still,
you
four
said 4 years.
Years
ago. I thought you said 40 for whatever.
I would have thought the price would have went up a little bit.
Well, based on the comps in the neighborhood, you would think that for sure. But truly, the Celtics are not anywhere near in the same neighborhood that the Timberwolves are.
I would at least bumped it up to $2 billion.
Minnesota, you know, for a long period of time was... it may now be... No, because Minnesota made the conference finals last year, right? The longest stretch for a city with four pro sports teams in between conference, you know, the semifinals, the conference finals, you know, the championship game, NFC championship game, etc. Washington had the longest stretch until the Caps. Yeah, I think Minnesota had the longest streak until the T-Wolves last year made it to the Western Conference.
I think
the
streak that you're thinking is a championship.
It's a championship?
Yeah, not conference, which is still
So what was Minnesota's last championship? The Twins?
The Twins got there.
Of Kirby Puckett, you know.
I think in 92 vintage. It was, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
It was like right after the Skins' last Super Bowl.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the same year. Didn't the Twins win it in 91? I think they did.
Yeah, so it was a couple months then.
Okay. We got a guest coming up. Buzz Williams press conference at noon. We'll carry some of that live. We'll give you guys a chance, Terp fans, to weigh in on the Buzz Williams hire after we hear from him. But up next, joining us from College Station, Texas, Mark Passwater has covered Texas A&M sports. We'll get the perspective from down there on Buzz Williams leaving A&M for Maryland. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Buzz Williams will be introduced out in College Park at noon as Maryland's next head basketball coach. We will carry some of that live at noon, and then I'll give you guys a chance to weigh in on the Buzz Williams hire afterwards. Joining us right now from where Buzz Williams just left, Texas A&M College Station, is Mark Passwaters. He covers Texas A&M for Rivals.com. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at MBPRivals. So before I ask you, Mark, what the reaction to Buzz moving on is down there, tell Maryland fans what they're getting in Buzz Williams as its next head coach.
Probably a mixed bag. You're talking about a guy who has had success everywhere he's been, but the success has been limited. For example, at A&M, 3 straight tournament appearances, but never out of the first weekend. His teams will play extremely hard. They will play very good defense. His players will be extremely loyal to him, and they will shoot terribly. The A&M was last in the SEC in field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throws. So, you know, it's up and it's down. They'll go you know, they'll be hot and win 5 or 6 games, and then they'll lose to somebody they shouldn't, and then they'll be number one in the country. It's all over the place, and he has an expiration date. He doesn't last anywhere beyond 6 years, and his track record shows that. So, you know, enjoy him for while you got him.
What was the highest A&M got to in the polls this year? Do you remember?
I think they got the 5th.
Yeah. By the way, I went back and watched the 2 games from the tournament, or at least the condensed version. I mean, they blew a big second half lead against Michigan, just melted down in that game. And actually, you know, in the tournament against Yale and Michigan, they were better offensively than they had been during the regular season. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, for the most part, and then when the meltdown happened against Michigan, they went 6 minutes without a basket, and that is their MO. They did that repeatedly during the regular season. And blowing double-digit leads wasn't something that was new to them. The season opener against UCF had one, blew it. Oregon, they had a 13-point lead, blew it. At Texas, they had a 22-point lead, blew it. You know, they were just offensively inept. And this is not a one-season thing. They had a habit for the last 3 years that, you know, they would sit there and just, I don't know what happened. They would just all of a sudden start going one-on-one. Most of the time, everybody else would just get out of the way and wait for Wade Taylor to take a shot. And, you know, if somebody defended him well, they were in trouble. And at the end, or the press conference after the Michigan game, Buzz sat there and said, okay, well, we're limited. We have to rebound well in order to have a chance. And that was kind of damning, because this is a team he designed. He had 8 seniors on that thing, and they still were offensively just crippled if Wade Taylor didn't make shots.
Yeah. You know, Michigan with the 2 bigs actually out-rebounded Maryland, Mark, in the Big Ten semifinals. This is not a misprint. 47-18. They had more offensive rebounds than Maryland had total rebounds. And Maryland still lost at the buzzer, you know, by a point. That wasn't what happened with A&M. I want to ask you, I do want to get the reaction from down there, and I have a feeling I know where it's headed. But is he, beyond his teams, by the way, in multiple spots at times, being offensively challenged, but as you said, tough, physical, good, grinding defensive teams, is he a good in-game, you know, game management, clock management, timeout management coach?
You know, like everything else, it's kind of hit or miss. His refusal to call a timeout against Texas killed him. Texas went on this huge run in the second half, and he just decided to let it play out, and that was a mistake. On the other hand, later in the season, he called some timeouts that were very fortuitous and either saved the lead or allowed A&M to stop the bleeding and rally. So, Buzz is a really tough guy to figure out in a lot of ways, and his use of rotations and timeouts are one of them. He just used guys this year especially that really had no business being on the floor, but since they were veterans and they were his guys, they were still out there. And you probably saw some of that in the Michigan game with Hayden Hefner. God love him. You know, the kid tries really hard, but as soon as 2 came on the floor, Michigan attacked him. And you could see that in the plus minus, that it was just massive when he was out there against A&M. But that's just what Buzz does.
What is the reaction in College Station to Buzz Williams leaving after 6 years to take the job at Maryland?
You know, it's kind of mixed. It depends on who you ask. If it's somebody that places great value on the development of young men and a good representative of the university, they're upset. If somebody is looking at the end results for the basketball program, most of the reaction is, well, bye. You know, he reached his expiration date. People were extremely frustrated with how this season ended. You know, the talent was supposed to be there, but, you know, in terms of overall stats, the team regressed notably this year. Even though the defense and the rebounding allowed them to win games, you know, offensively, they were just bad, and it cost them. So it's one of those things where I think a divorce was the best for both parties, and he certainly wanted to get out, and while A&M wasn't going to fire him due to the buyout, they would certainly help him pack.
Mark Passwaters covers Texas A&M sports. Buzz Williams is Maryland's new head coach. He's going to be introduced out in College Park at noon. We'll carry it live here on your home for Maryland basketball, the Team 980. Why do you think, and this is the rep that is following him to College Park, you're not breaking news with this, as you know, and you just lived it. Why is the expiration date with Buzz Williams, you know, 5 to 6 years after he takes the gig?
You know, it's a great question that I don't know if anybody beyond Buzz really understands, but he is very much an acquired taste. He's an odd duck. You know, you can sit there at he'll have a 20-minute press conference after a game, and you get maybe 2 usable quotes. You'll get a lot of analytics, a lot of Nietzsche. You know, I don't mean to be condescending, but I'm not going to get an answer about why his guys are running the shot clock down to 3 and then jacking up a bad shot. That's just not going to happen. You know, and he just finds ways to grate on people. With the case of A&M, I think the last straw with the administration was his absolute desire to have Wade Taylor's jersey hung in the rafters after his last game. This is something that he had mentioned for 18 months in press conferences, that they should do it. And then it went from hyperbole to it has to happen. And the administration was kind of like, this is kind of a stupid idea. You don't want to do that with an active player. And he handled it very badly. And he admitted as such. He was petulant about it. So I think that really kind of cut the cord. But he was looking for a way out before the new AD, Trev Alberts, was hired last year. Right. It's just, you know, he seems to have a serious case of wanderlust. Even at this was supposed to be his dream job. And after 5 years, he's looking to pull the ripcord. And then after 6, he did it. So, you know, he's just a weird dude. And if he doesn't get things exactly his way, exactly the way he wants it, then he's going to take his ball and go home.
What do you think the chances are that at 52 years old and now, you know, in a place, by the way, where basketball is a lot more important than football? That's not where he was in College Station. We've got experience with a Texas A&M coach coming here. Mark Turgeon came from College Station to College Park. You know a lot more about him covering him. What's the chance that maybe at 52, at a place that really loves basketball, that this could be the final place for him?
You know, if he has success and Terps fans have patience with him, because I know that the roster is depleted, you know, maybe it is. But he has shown nothing yet that would make me think so. I mean, Marquette is a great basketball school. It's a basketball hungry school. It doesn't even have a real football program.
Right.
You know, 5 years. You know, Virginia Tech was desperate for a winner. I mean, my parents are Hokies, so I know all this crap. But, you know, they never did anything. He got them to an Elite Eight. I mean, as far as they were concerned, he walked on water and he left. You know, and then at A&M, you know, this is supposed to be the dream job. He was there with Billy Gillespie, you know, 2-time SEC Coach of the Year. And, you know, he still found a way to drive people nuts and, you know, left town. So, you know, his MO is that he won't stay. Does that mean that he can't bust it? No, that, you know, he could, if he wins at Maryland, and I know that what they think of the previous Coach Williams, you know, he could punch his own ticket. But I just don't know, you know, I don't, if anybody says they know what they're going to get out of Buzz, they're lying.
You mentioned that the people there that are not happy about his exit are the people that care about a good representation of the university, a guy that develops players. I did see one press conference, and I think it was after the Michigan game, where the players were up there, and they seemed to really genuinely love him. Has that been what you've seen, that players develop, even if the results for the team overall come up short in March, and that, you know, he's an outstanding sort of representative, no matter how quirky, of the university?
Well, he develops men. I don't know if he develops ball players, but he develops men. And, yeah, they love him. I mean, to a man. I've never heard a player say a bad thing about Buzz Williams. He finds his kind of guys, the guys that are willing to play his kind of system, and he is loyal to them, and he will be loyal to them for life. And that is one of the best things about Buzz Williams. I think that he is probably a better leader of men than he is a basketball coach. But part of the problem that you're going to see with Buzz is he has a real problem differentiating between being that leader and being a coach. You're going to see stuff on his Twitter about get better, and you're going to see stuff about, you know, his reading list and things like this, and
Nietzsche.
He'll do motivational stuff. Yeah, a little Nietzsche. Sometimes Buzz builds the Buzz brand more than he builds his program. And that is something that I think irritated more than a few Aggies.
All right. Who's coming with him? Anybody? Are you guys worried about losing players to College Park here over the next few days or not?
Well, there's not a whole lot left.
What about Payne?
Well, that's it. Payne and Solomon Washington would be the two that I'd watch. But Washington's one of the best defenders in the country. Payne was outstanding in the tournament. But neither of them has made any indication that they're going to move. And if A&M moves as quickly to get another coach, and I think they have a particular one in mind, that may be enough to keep them here.
Is it Chris Beard? Is that a legitimate possibility, or is he just leveraging it into more money at Ole Miss?
No, that's a legitimate possibility.
It's just so ironic. The guy that actually I think a lot of Maryland fans would have loved to have backed the truck up for takes the job of their current coach's last place of employment. Solomon Washington and Pharrell Payne. We saw Payne at Minnesota there for a couple of years before he ended up in College Station. Mark, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
Mark Passwaters, Rivals.com, covers Texas A&M. A lot of what Mark just said about Buzz Williams was a lot of the feedback. If, you know, you had a chance to talk to people who followed the program or people close to the program, or in the industry, said about him, really good coach defensively, teams play really hard, you know, the players love him. Offensively, at times, those teams have been challenged. But, you know, it's about getting the players, and it's a different world right now. And he had A&M 3 straight years. It's a pretty good team that just came up short in March. We're used to that. All right, we will carry the press conference out in College Park live at noon. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. So just an example of what the players that have played for Buzz Williams think of him. This was Manny Obaseki, a 4-year player for Buzz Williams at Texas A&M, a starter this year as a senior. After the game in which their season ended last weekend when they got beat by Michigan, this was him talking about his coach.
That man right there next to Wade, one of the greatest people you will ever meet. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time in basketball in general. And he's changed my life. He's changed each and every one of our lives. And I'm so thankful for him. Coach Buzz, you mean everything to me. I love you. No matter what, I know you're going to be one call away, one text away. And no matter what anybody says, he's one of the greatest. And y'all can't change that. And nobody will change that or take that from him. Thank you.
So that sort of, you know, goes hand in hand with what our guest just said, that the players love him. They are absolutely love him. That's a big deal. It really is. You have to win in March in this sport. But developing young men and developing, you know, players and having that kind of feeling about your coach is good to see. They were a 4 seed this year, lost to Michigan in the second round. They had a 12-point lead in the second half, blew it. A friend of mine said, don't forget they lost that classic to Houston last year. Yeah, second round of the tournament in 2024, overtime to Houston, 195 in that game. That was in overtime, by the way, an overtime game. And that was the game, Denton, in which Jamal Shedd got hurt and ended up not facing Duke in the next round when they lost to Duke in the Sweet 16 a year ago. So they scored in that game. The game went into overtime at 81 apiece, and they lost 195 in overtime. But, yeah, I think we're getting a leader of men, great defensive coach, team will play hard. God, we've had a lot of those teams over the years, you know. Offensively challenged, perhaps. Hopefully they can fix that with money and players that can score. All right, we'll carry his press conference live next.